Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You'd rather be in the hospital?
No.
Oh, just checking. Thank y'all for, I appreciate John giving me the opportunity to come and be here with you today. I always enjoy coming and being here, and thank you for that opportunity. I know John probably holds that pulpit in high regard, and I consider it an honor that he would ask me to fulfill service for the day. All right, enough about all that. Get down to business. How about that? Are y'all awake? Are you sure? I need to come stand out here in the middle somewhere? No, I'm just kidding. I love laughter in God's house. You know, I think sometimes we think we have to be too stiff. And I thought a while ago when he was doing the announcements, worried about messing them up. I'm like, God don't care what order we get it in, as long as we get out to the worship part and the word. So just relax and enjoy being in God's house. I appreciate the fact that God says we can do all things through Him, because I can't do anything. But He can do all things. So today I want to ask you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 9 verses, if you will. I'll give you a second to get there. I don't know if they're putting it up on the board or not. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version. I grew up on that. So if that's not yours and it's a little different, it's still saying the same thing. So stay with me. Verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all of these days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong, be very courageous, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that where you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. I want you to, in your mind, let's go back. You realize that and first of all, did you notice he kind of gave the territory of Israel? It's way bigger than what Israel is right now. There's a whole lot more to it that God gave them as their land. But God delivered Israel out of Egypt. They went through the wilderness. You remember that? And they come up to the promised land, sent spies in. Spies come back. 10 of them, 8 of them said what? Oh, no. There's giants over there. We can't do this. Joshua and Caleb says, well, God will give it to us. Well, what did they do? Stayed in the wilderness. They stayed in the wilderness. And were disobedient to God. Moses was disobedient to God. And so he said, you'll spend 40 years in the wilderness. Can you imagine? The river is the only thing that separates you from everything God has promised you. Don't you visualize that? I don't know, even if you need to go down to the river down here, and think in your mind you're on one side and everything God has for you is on the other side of that river. But you refuse to cross the river. You were going to stay right there in the wilderness and eat manna. Although I'm kind of anxious to see what manna's like when I get to heaven, just curiosity. But he may tell me, son, you don't want none of that. But I'm curious about that. But here you are, you're standing on that side. Moses, the man who has led them for 40 plus years, has died. And Joshua, and you notice it said, what was Joshua's role with the Israelites? He was Moses' servant, but he also, Joshua was the man who led them into battle. When they went into battle, you really could say he was their commander or their general or whatever. He led their armies into battle when they fought. That was his role. He was a servant underneath Moses. And now we could go back to the end of Deuteronomy there. And Moses passes his mantle, if you will, verse 9 in chapter 34. Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands on him. The son of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded. So Moses says, all right, Joshua, you're it. Now wait a minute. I'm good with leading the army. I got that part. But now you want me to lead all these people? The role's changing, right? Big shoes to fill. Huge shoes to fill, if you will. But, you know, Moses was raised up for the purpose of leading those people out of captivity. Joshua, although did not know at the time when he was born, at the time he began to serve the Lord, at the time he spent with Moses, he did not know that he was going to become the leader of Israel and take them into the promised land. But God raised him up for that. So Moses led them out. Joshua was raised up to lead them in. But I want you to think about it for a second. Joshua's role had to change. Things had to change. He was not a young man at this point. I mean, he was probably a teenager when they left Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, so, you know, he's probably knocking on 50 or 60 at least. And he said, okay, now you're going to lead the people, lead them into God. And the thing about when you think about those roles, recently, and I say recently in the last few months, everybody knows about the Charlie Kirk thing, right? You know, he was really a good voice for the Lord. He really was. And I see T-shirts all the time. Be Charlie Kirk. Be Charlie Kirk. Don't be Charlie Kirk. Be who God created you to be. Now, you can serve the Lord faithfully like he did, but he's called you to be you. God has created you to fulfill his purpose in your life. But Moses was not called to be Abraham. Joshua wasn't called to be Moses. David was not called to be Samuel. Paul was not called to be Peter. They were both called to serve the Lord and share the gospel, one to the Gentile, one to the Jew. God has a calling for you and for you alone, and you're to be you. Great men come before us, mentor us, inspire us, live alongside us. But there comes a time when God says, it's your turn. I have this for you. But Lord, I'm doing this. I'm comfortable. I'm teaching this. I'm teaching the kids. I can do the kids. But I want you to teach adults. I can't teach adults. I can do kids. I can't do adults. I'm scared of that. Or I need you to get up and share your testimony before the church. Ooh, I can't talk in front of people. Sometimes God calls us to step out. But I want to think for a second about those mentors before us. Everybody in here have someone spiritually that they look up to? I do. I've had several. One gentleman, my father is my, I guess, my earthly spiritual hero. Not just because he's my dad, but he's a sincerely godly man. But had a gentleman for years that mentored me. He would come to me, and he came to me one time, and he handed me this Bible. And he bought it, and he gave it to me. He said, you know, I've been looking at the Bible, and there's this little phrase in there. I don't know what to think about that. What do you think? And I thought, Lord help, if you don't know, I'm in trouble. He knew what he thought, but he wanted me to go look it up. So he encouraged me. He pushed me to dig deep into God's Word. And I'd see him, and we'd talk about it, and he said, well, I read something else. What do you think about this? And after a while, I'm slow. After a while, I began to pick up on what he was doing to me. He was mentoring me in God's Word, not by sitting down next to me, but encouraging me to study God's Word deeper, not superficially, to dig into God's Word. Moses had Joshua next to his side. Joshua watched him for years as he led the people. But you know, you can stand next to someone and watch them do it and think, you know, they do that well. But what happens when they're not there and God says, okay, it's you. Now I have something for you. Joshua had to step into that role. Joshua couldn't be Moses. He had to be Joshua, who God called him to be. He had to step out and begin to lead those people, if you will. It's a new role for him. Do we ever get too old for God to add to what we're doing? No. Do we get too old to serve the Lord? God just changes our role. He just changes our role. You know, you might not be the one out there mowing the yard or doing those kind of things for the Lord or beating the streets or traveling the world or whatever, but God has a role for you. And as we grow in Christ, He changes that sometimes. Jeremiah 29:11, most of you know that verse by heart. I know the plans I have for you. Are you with me? You know, I know the plans I have for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about there's a time and a place for everything. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11, he said, look, if you just seek, you'll find. What does the Lord want me to do? Well, don't ask the preacher, ask the Lord. Don't ask your neighbor, ask Jesus. He said, 'cause you'll ask and seek, I'll show you. What do you have for me to do? What's my role? What do I do? Well, I'm busy for the Lord. Well, are you satisfied with that little circle you're sitting in? Maybe God has more for you. Maybe God has something else for you. But while we're waiting on the Lord to show us what's next, a good rule of thumb is to stay focused on what He's called you to do. Jesus taught pretty clearly with the parable of the talents. When He gives us a gift, a talent, and we do not use it. You remember that? He gave one 10, He gave one 5, and He gave one 1. The one had 5 and 10 invested and made them grow and expanded the territory. The one that got 1, what did he do with it? Buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. So when the master come back, he says, where's your talent? Well, I buried it. What did he do with it? He took it away from him, right? My friends, God's given you a talent. You need to use it for Him. Use it for Him. Because if you're using what God gives you and He can trust you with that, He's going to add to your territory. He's going to add to what He has for you. Joshua, here he is. He's called. God says, look, you're now the leader. I want you to lead them across the river. It's time. Time to cross the river. So he stands looking across the promised land with a new role of leadership. Time to leave the wilderness and enter that promised land. But Joshua knows he's been there. There's going to be resistance. God says, I'm going to give it to you. And I don't want you to miss that. In the Word, God said over several times, I'm going to give you everywhere your foot steps. He's going to give it to you. But was it without cost? No. Oh, no. Israelites had to do a little work. They had to put a little effort in it, did they not? Sometimes in our service to the Lord, it's not easy, is it? There's a little effort put into it. Sometimes He calls you to do something you're not comfortable with. I'll share one with you that's currently occurring in my life. Not just mine, but my wife's. Our our ministry and overseas in Africa, you know, anything you do, there takes a certain amount of administrative things that have to take place. And we have a medical clinic over there. We hired a midwife, thank you, and we're working on building a birthing suite and some things like that. Medical junk is not my cup of tea. She's a nurse, so there we are. Some of our special needs children need to visit with their parents. There's just some administrative things that need to take place, and God says, I want her to go. He speaks to her clearly that she needs to go. I did not feel like I was supposed to go. So I began to pray. God says, go. So we bought the ticket for her to go by herself. She's never traveled that far by herself. I've always been the one to go with or go. And I kind of fussed at the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, she's the logistic woman. She gets everything ready. And then she says, here, take us. That's my role. I lead that direction. So after we had talked one night and just really he should share her heart, we talked about what needed to happen. She says, I feel like God wants me to go. So we just stepped up. We bought her a ticket, just one for her. Well, I go to bed, and I'm fussed. You're fussed to God. Lord, are you sure about this? That's my wife. I don't need to let her go. You know, what if she gets sick? What if this? Well, I come up with 1,000 reasons. You ever done that? I'm 1,000 reasons why. And I finally doze off and go to sleep. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, God says, hey, get up. We need to talk. He said, she belongs to me first, doesn't she? And can you do anything to change if she gets sick or not sick? Or if she, anything about what happens, can you change? No. He says, I can. I got this. And he gave me some peace about it. Well, my friend, I was standing on the river looking at what God needed to do with us, and I didn't want to cross because it was not comfortable for me. And even though I have peace about it, I ain't going to lie, y'all pray. If for me, if you will. Pray for her. Letting her go is just a little tough for me. That's, you know, guys, you're the protector of your wife, right? That's your job. That's your role. So a little nervous. So I understand a little bit when Joshua is taking on this new role, God's calling something different, and it's a little out of what his norm is. So he's calling him, and he says, there's much to possess on the other side of that river. God had promised them that land. But I don't always think about that land. God has so much for us to possess. He has so much. And I'm not talking about miracle, material things. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. What did he tell him? Look, the birds have somewhere to nest. I ain't even got nowhere to lay down. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about things that are of eternal value. What does God have that you can possess? Well, obviously salvation, right? God desires that you know him, that you enter into his kingdom, that you have a hope and a future for heaven, that you're able to know that you know that when that trumpet blows, I'm out of here. Do you know that? Y'all going with me? I see a few heads. The rest of y'all unsure? We can keep talking. When that trumpet blows, out of here. God has that for you, but what has to happen? God's done all the work, but you still got to trust him enough to cross the river and say, God, I want you to be my Savior. Amen. What about if in your life there's a lack of peace, like God sending your wife to the other side of the world by herself? You need a little peace about that. I've got to trust him and cross that river and say, God, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put her in your hands, that I can have some peace in my life. Does God desire that you have peace? Words Jesus said, I leave my peace with you. He leaves that for us. What about wisdom? Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God wants from me. What did he tells us in the book of Jay? Ask for what? Ask for wisdom if you're lacking some. Somebody said this morning in my Sunday school class, the problem is sometimes we need a little wisdom to know we need to ask for wisdom. So I'm just going to encourage you to go ahead and ask for a little. God give you some wisdom. It's on that other side. Discernment. What about love? What about strength? What about an abundant life? You know, I can know Christ as my Savior and still live humdrum. You know what that means, right? Well, I know you. We can live humdrum, but God desires we have an abundant life. That we begin, that we live and walk in His grace and His mercies, and we realize that God is in control, and I trust Him with everything. I trust Him with my life, my wife, my checkbook, my job. Whatever I have is not mine anyway. It belongs to God. Now, am I going to trust Him with it? Am I going to stay on the other side of the river and miss out on the blessings of abundance, peace that passes understanding, comfort? Something else that stands on the other side of that river for many Christians is new places of service. Here recently, I had a pastor's prayer breakfast, and was praying with a couple of guys. We were gathered up, 2 or 3 of us praying together, and one of the gentlemen was praying over me in particular. And he says, "Lord, increase his territory of service." And he said that, and I didn't think much about it until later. And realized in the last several months, God had been doing that very thing. I thought, how much broader of a territory can he give me? I mean, I travel other parts of the world. But sometimes there's rivers to cross right here. God opened a door for me to work at a care center in Huntsville where I share the gospel with men every day. And when he had prayed that, I thought, you know what? God has increased my territory, and didn't even realize what was taking place. But in order for God to increase your territory, you got to be willing to step out. You got to be willing to cross that river, if you will. Several times here in chapter 1, just the first 9 verses that we read, made the statement to Joshua. He said, "Be strong and be courageous." When you think of courage or someone that's courageous, what comes to mind? What's the most courageous act you think somebody does? Military come to mind, somebody, guys at war looking down the barrel of a gun, or policemen, or, you know, something that life and death, we think that's courage, right? We think that's, what about you? And I ask guys this a lot, especially young men. What's the most courageous thing you've ever done? Does it take courage to stand at the altar and say, "I do," for life? And mean it. Does it take courage to raise a child in God's Word? Does it take courage to serve the Lord wherever He places you? All those things take courage. Courage is because what does courage recall? John Wayne says it best to me. It's being scared to death and saddling up anyway. My friends, when things are before you and you're scared to death, saddle up anyway and follow God where He's leading you. Amen. God has a plan, a purpose for you. But you can't stand on the other side of the river and watch, or you'll end up in the wilderness for 40 years doing the same thing over and over and over again, missing out on what God has next. You know, I shared it. Go back a little bit. I got time. There's the role that God has given me, that men's director at the care center. When it come open, my wife told me about it, and I thought, when I pastored, that was the thing I hated the worst, was counseling people. I ain't doing that. I did. I ain't doing that. It just kind of kept coming before me. I guess it's like standing at the river in the water washing my feet, saying, hey. It just kept coming before me. And finally I said, okay, I'll put my application in. Boom, hey, you're hired. What? Here I am. Oh, it's just part-time. No problem. Part-time went to full-time in about 30 days. And that's not just that. What, can you take care of these programs for us too? It just got expanded. That, but inside that, even though God had to kind of push me across the river, if you will, inside that, I've got to see men come to Christ over and over. They come in there hurting or come in there scared because they've made bad choices. And I'm able to show them some hope in Jesus Christ. And I think, man, what a blessing. And they pay me for that. I'm thinking, how can this be? I'm here telling people about Christ. God expanded that, but I had to be willing to do what? Cross the river and let him expand that territory to something else. So let me ask you this. Good Christian, you're serving the Lord, doing what God has for you. Have you opened your mind to maybe God has something additionally for you? Has something more for you to do? Well, I'm pretty busy, Lord. He holds the clock. He takes care of the clock. But what keeps us from crossing that river? What about salvation? Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. What's keeping you from stepping across that? Is it unbelief? Is it fear? Is it not quite sure? Or you think, well, you know, I deserve to be in the wilderness. Oh, my soul, how often Christians and people think, I'm where I am and that's where I deserve to be. I'm not good enough Christian to do this. I'm not good enough to do that. I don't know enough scripture to go tell people about Jesus. I can't do that. I can't. A lot of times we fall into that trap of believing you cannot cross the river. They stood on one side of the river, promised land on the other. Banks are swollen, full of water. God says, cross. If there's a bunch of us together, guys together, we'd be trying to engineer a way to safely get across there, right? Well, if we do this, and then our wives would be standing there telling us what to do to fix it. We'd all be in there getting our plan, right, to get across that river, build a bridge, whatever it takes. And God says, look, if you'll just take and put me out in front, I'll take care of the rest. And how'd they cross that Jordan River? On dry ground, right? On dry ground. Unbelief keeps us in the wrong place sometimes. Self keeps us in the wrong place. Lack of faith. Fail to surrender. Been there. Fail to surrender. I don't want you to do this. I don't know if that's for me. I need you to do this. Well, God, I'm not comfortable with that. Y'all might not have those issues. I struggle with them sometimes. God's calling. Right, let me throw this one out there. Might make somebody mad, but it's okay. Maybe you're standing in the wilderness and you're missing out on the promised land because you don't really have a good love relationship with Christ. It's just weak. How's your love relationship with Christ? Do you have that intimate relationship with him so that when he speaks, you hear him? Do you have that type of relationship that when at 3:30 in the morning you suddenly wake wide open and you realize, like Samuel, okay, Lord, here I am. What do you got? Or you just think, well, I can't sleep tonight. Are we in tune with the Lord that we hear his voice when he speaks? Because, my friend, God wants to talk to you. He wants to have that relationship. He desires not just to hear, I love you, Lord. Aunt Betsy's got a hangnail. Can you take care of that? He wants to know you. He wants to talk to you about what's here that's bothering you. And say, you know what? That fear about having knee surgery, I can give you some peace before you get in there. That fear over this, I can give you the courage to step out anyway. God wants to do that. Because you know why? He is your heavenly Father. He says, you know, if I take care of the birds in the air, how much more would I do for my children? Would any of us in here sit and watch our children stumble and starve to death? Or would you give them a loaf of bread to eat? Our Heavenly Father, He loves us and desires that personal relationship with us. He wants to have that with us, but we have to be willing to listen. I want you to notice a couple of things here, and I'll hurry along. Three things had to happen before they could experience the promised land God had for them. One, they had to leave where they were. Sometimes God makes us leave our comfort zone. Do we get comfortable in doing things a certain way? Let me ask you this, and I'm not knocking it whatsoever. Every church in the world, we need order. But this morning, did you know in your mind that we would have so many songs, announcements, offering, message? Did you know that? Why? Because we do that all the time. That's our comfort zone. What if I'd have come here this morning and said, hey, we're not going to do music till after a while? What? I did that once at my home church. I got with a music person. I was talking about praise and worship, and I said, I'm going first today. It blew the entire crowd's mind because it took them out of their comfort zone of what was norm. God's not going to let you sit in comfort. You got to leave sometimes where you're at. You got to move out of that place so you can move into what God has for you. Not only that, but He calls them. He calls us. When He calls us out of that land, He doesn't just call us to go somewhere else. He calls us unto Him that we're to be separate and holy. God has called you and I to be holy. And what does holy mean? To be set apart. Set apart from what? Set apart from the rest of the world and unto Him, that we look like Him, act like Him. You know, if we claim that we love Jesus and we don't act like Him, what does the world see? What do they call us?
Hypocrite.
Yeah. You ever been called a hypocrite? You ever had somebody say, well, I don't go to church, a bunch of hypocrites down there. You know what my response is? Yep. Come on, join us. Then there'll be one more. All of us need a Savior. None of us are perfect. So come on, why don't we do this together? Anyway, I'm getting off track. Sorry about that. Third thing that we need to do when we stand there and God is calling us, we have to leave where we're at. We have to seek to come unto Him and live holy. But it's to take possession of that which God has set before you. Take possession of what God has set before you. God has set life and liberty and grace and mercy and an abundant life. He has set forth before us a hope of a heaven that is unimaginable. All those things and more He has set before us. And He said, I had done all the work. I came, I died on the cross, I rose again, I shed my blood. If you believe in me and trust in me, all these things are yours, but you have to take possession of that. It's His gift, but you have to take possession. I mean, that'd be like you inviting everybody to come to my house for dinner, and you come sit down at the table, and it's full of food. And you're starving, and you just sit there and say, no, I don't want none. Our Lord has set an abundant table before us. One of salvation and two of life with Him. Pick the fork up and take possession of what He's got for you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Last but not least, two or three things. I said that a while ago, didn't I? He's called us to be courageous, be strong, be brave, be bold, be determined. That's what courageous is. Courageous means to be strong, be bold, be courageous, be determined, persist. Anybody in here persistent? Tenacious? I'll leave it at that. God goes before you. Go back to Deuteronomy conversation where Moses puts his hands upon Joshua and passes the mantle, if you will. He had been preparing Joshua. God had went before him. There was things that God had set in place for Joshua before he ever said, okay, it's you. My friend, if God is calling you to expand your territory, to move into something else, to add to what you're doing for him, he has gone before you and prepared a way to make that happen. Not only that, he calls us. He says, look here. He said, be strong and courageous, 7, 8, 9. He said, be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn this way or that way. So wherever you go, you'll have success. Is this important to us? Should it be important to us? Yes, it should be set before us. We should know what it says. Not only know it, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Anybody won't be prosperous and successful when they serve the Lord? Well, absolutely we do. I don't want to just jump out there and say, hey, I want to be a failure. I want to be successful. Well, he tells us how right here. Be courageous. Step out where God's leading you. Meditate on God's word. Hide it in your heart. Follow its direction. And then that wonderful word, obey, obey, obey what God has for you. Live by God's word. Meditate on God's word. And then love the Lord your God with all your heart. So I'm going to close with this. In my analogy picture that God gives us in the Word, you're standing at the river. What's keeping you from crossing it to what God has for you? Is there more? You ever thought in your Christian walk, is this all there is? You ever thought that? I have in the past. I thought, God, is this all? No. God has more for you. Doesn't mean he's going to call you to preach. Doesn't mean he's going to call you to go around the world. Doesn't mean he's going to call you to do all kind of crazy things. He might. I never thought he would, but he did. But are you willing to say yes, Lord, and then cross the river and take possession of what he has for you? God has a plan and a purpose for you. I don't know what the rest of my days hold, but I know who does. Amen. I just have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, and follow wherever he leads. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. That salvation is standing there. It's on the other side of the river. He's done all the work. He's going to part the water and take you there. But you got to take possession of it. Today's that day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask you just to speak to our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, expand our territories, each of us. Lord, that we may be doing more for the kingdom. Lord, we live in such a time that for us, we look at the world around us. Lord, I know time is not an issue. You've seen all of history from beginning to end. Lord, we see what's around us. And oh, just the evil and the atrocities and the things that are happening and people are doing. And just, Lord, it breaks my heart. And I think, what can I do? What can I do? Lord, help us just to be willing to let you expand our territories that we may influence the world for you in the area that you've given us. Lord, and that we would be set apart. We would be living holy lives that the world sees you in us. And that would be, each of us would be the individual you created us to be. Lord, I love you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?